Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Abbott Elementary Season 2, Episode 6, Candy Zombies, and Season 2, Episode 7, Attack Ad are over, but class is in session here on Post Show Recaps. No, it's not the Vision or Lil Uzi Vert. It's me, Chappelle, and I'm back to take us through another two episodes of Abbott Elementary, and with me, my co-host, the incomparable Queen of Disguises, Crime, and Looking Hot, Gia Worthy. Gia, what's up?
You know, this is the second time you took the line that I was going to use for myself.
Got her.
Well, damn it. But I will say, like Ashley, you know, I don't operate well in a chaotic environment. So if I leave in the middle of this episode, you know what you did.
Exactly. Listen, this is chaos. This podcast is chaos. And these episodes were very chaotic. And I'm so excited to talk to you about them, Gia. But in the meantime, how it's been 2 weeks. How have you been?
Oh, I've been so good. I took a vacation. I went to Florida for Disney. I was very sad I had to miss the DC event that many of our podcast brethren and sisters were also at, and all the Survivor people. But I had a great time in Disney. I got myself some ears. I ate a lot of food. I drank a lot. I mean, like, yes, between you and me and everyone listening. But it was a great time. Got some nice pictures. Got a lot of souvenirs. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And did you celebrate Halloween?
You know I celebrated Halloween. It is my favorite holiday, much like Melissa. It is the best holiday by far. I am, you know, my specialties do revolve around, you may think it's podcasting or writing, but really it's crime, disguises, and looking hot are my big three. It's on my resume. It's how I got my current job. Mm-hmm. It's just like a, you know, I enjoy a holiday that really embraces my assets.
I love that. Speaking of Halloween, this episode six, this has to be one of the best Halloween episodes of a sitcom I've seen in a long time. Gia, I love this episode. What did you think about it?
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because obviously this is I was worried that it would be recency bias, but like, this is one of my favorite episodes of Abbott Elementary as a whole, but also this is definitely one of my favorite Halloween episodes of any show ever. And I just loved everything about it. I feel like the whole cast was involved, and that's usually the episodes that I like the best. The kids this episode were fantastic. Baby Thanos and baby Mr. Johnson have their Emmys on lock. I just loved everything about this. It was, oh my God, perfect from beginning to end. No notes for the crew other than bravo.
Yes, I totally agree. Throughout this episode, we had everything. We had James Harden. We had two Scarlet Witches and a millennial Tuskegee Airman named Sully Sullenberg, I guess. So this was a good time. I was surprised at what Abbott did, but also I was like, you know, it's more of the excellence that they've been delivering to us since day one.
I know. I wasn't really sure what to expect from a Halloween episode. I don't know if how your Halloweens at elementary schools were, Chappelle, during your day, but I personally did not get to do anything like this as a child. Maybe because I went to Catholic school and like half of them think that Halloween is the devil. But I did not get to do things like this in Halloween. We did like the normal trick-or-treat after classes type thing. But this was an event at Abbott Elementary. They had the stills out for a while, so we kind of had an idea about everyone's costumes and stuff, but I was just very excited to see it all come together.
Yeah, no, in my day, we didn't have like, we wouldn't have just like a free-for-all recess in the middle of the day just because everybody got like, you know, a little chocolate wasted, I guess I'd say. But we definitely would dress up. The teachers would dress up. Even now as an educator, I like Halloween because I get to dress up and be stupid with the students. You know, like they're like, oh, you know, Mr. Chappelle, why are you dressed like that? I'm like, it's Halloween. You're not too cool for this, you know? So this was fun. Because I think that's the fun thing about Abbott Elementary. The teachers are all so like hands-on. They all get into it. Even Gregory, you know. And so although we find out he doesn't really like candy, nobody was shocked by that. But I love seeing him and the rest of them participate with the kids and kind of enjoying this holiday for what it was. And I mean, like you said, the guests that we had in this episode were incredible. We had two new standout kids. We had Chad. We had baby Thanos. We also got Erica for the first time.
Yes!
And so this was good TV for me. What did you think about our appearance from Erica?
I am very excited that we are getting some more adults in the mix. Like, I think we had talked earlier when we had some of the first few episodes where we got to see more of the lunch staff, and it seems like they're playing a bigger role now than they were in the first season where they got kind of their one-off appearances. But I love that we are expanding the Abbott Elementary cinematic universe here with, you know, now we're getting into, you know, something that does happen with a lot of people when they are getting out of a long-term relationship for so long, like with Janine not really having any out-of-work friends that weren't more Tyreek's friends. And now we are starting to see, like, some parents play bigger roles. And in this case, Erica is an aunt, but she seems like she is a really good supportive role for Janine. And even though she is clearly not into all the same things that Janine is into, she is like supportive of her weird tastes aside from, like, I guess the closest we would have gotten was Sahar in last season, who was very judgmental of Janine anytime she didn't go along with whatever she wanted. So Erica, and we got Erica in the episode 7 as well. Mm-hmm. I like that this isn't going to be a one-off character, and I hope we get to know more about her as the seasons come through. Because let's be honest, we are getting several seasons of this, and I will accept no other outcome.
No, that's a great point. I think you're right. We only see Janine at work with her work friends, and I put friends in quotation marks because they are very clear with her that they are not friends. And so it's like, well, if she's not going to have Tyreek, she's not going to have any work friends. What is Janine going to have? And we know that work-life life balance is like very important. You know, you should not live your day, live and breathe just to go to work and go home. You have to find other things that fulfill you. And so having a friend like Erica can only mean good things, at least short-term for Janine, and hopefully long-term too, because she seems dope. But yeah, I loved having her here. I loved her nephew, baby Thanos, who will be a central part of this episode. But we also have the return of Amber, who has shown up, Gia, dressed as a bad bitch for Halloween. What did you think about seeing Amber again?
I love it. And she was, honestly, I really liked her in season one. She had a little bit of a flirty vibe with Gregory in season one that I'm glad they revisited. But also she seemed like, did she make the best decisions all the time? No, but she was willing to learn from when she had new information about like how she needs to have her son there at the correct time. And now we learn that she has two kids that are attending Abbott Elementary. And she was able to grow in that one episode. And I'm hoping we get to see more of her here as well. I feel like that's like the same running commentary I have with like the supporting cast members. But I really do enjoy what we have gotten from the supporting cast. And I do think that Amber is going to be a really fun addition moving forward. And that was another one that we got little snippets of her in episode 7 as well. So this is not the last we are seeing of a bad bitch.
Amen. Amen to that for sure. So yeah, throughout this episode, we're going to see a lot of things take place. We're going to have the news of Tariq and Janine's breakup has made it to Facebook. And that's where we get Erica's appearance from, because she's heard about Tariq. He made a memorial page for this breakup. This is awkward, but okay, I'll take it. We just know that Janine is going to have some trouble moving on, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next episode. The central conflict of this episode, however, is that baby Thanos thinks that Halloween should be the reason kids should eat candy whenever they want, and eventually he will get into the candy stash and set it loose upon the school and send the school into utter chaos. Now, this was hilarious, because choosing this kid to be baby Thanos and then just watching them insert random Marvel Easter eggs and lines throughout this just for this child. When he yelled out, "I am inedible," I screamed, Gia. This was so funny to me.
He is inedible and inevitable. Mm-hmm. And I love just how committed he was to this part. I don't know if they gave him a script or they just had him watch the Avengers like Endgame and Infinity War and just told him to go for it. But this is the second time I am asking this in my life. Is Thanos right? You know,
right.
Is baby Thanos right in that children should be able to get to enjoy candy all through Halloween? I dare say yes, as someone with no kids that is very right. proud of that fact. Yes, as someone with no kids, yes, children should get Halloween candy all day.
Yeah, and go back to their parents.
If you are going, listen, if you are going to have kids, Halloween is going to be a factor, and that is something you should be thinking about ahead of time. And you know what? I'm all about kids embracing the Halloween spirit as long as I don't have to deal with them afterwards.
Right. Embrace it with your parents, not
yes.
us.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, that was a good starting point for this episode. Just laying the foundation that baby Thanos is out here on a mission. And he's able to really accomplish his mission for the most part, because our girl Ashley has taken her eye off the ball a little bit here. Because, like you said, chaos really affects her mood. And I think I saw her dip out of the episode, Gia. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was Ashley's fault, right?
Oh, this no. Ashley said it wasn't her fault. We can't put the blame on one person. So no, it was not her fault. But also, if we really think about it, why did they put Ashley in charge of the candy? I feel like they could have, and they put it in the haunted house, which all of the children have open access to. Where I feel like at the very least they could have put it in like the janitor's closet or somewhere with a lock that kid's going to get into. Except for baby Mr. Johnson, I assumed Ava gave him a key to finish up the costume and everything. But there was some, you know, far be it from me to blame Ava Coleman or any of the Abbott Elementary staff for anything, because they are so perfect. But I feel like there is room to spread the blame around. There is some flawed logic throughout, but, you know, maybe they should have given Ashley something more entertaining to do.
Yeah. She said, how do you blame me when the thief is the real criminal? And I was like, well, she's kind of making valid points here. Yeah. What do you expect? Yeah. What is she to do? She's looking at her phone. She's trying to be a good, productive person here at the school. And you have a crazy baby on the loose, ready to wreak havoc on the school. I don't think that's Ashley's fault. But again, she dips out just in time to avoid most of the blowback from this. One of the other conflicts we have in this episode, one of the smaller things, of course, is that Mr. Johnson has told Jacob about this story, almost like an urban legend of, a ghost janitor who lives in the basement of the school. And so throughout the episode, as they're searching for baby Thanos, we still have Jacob, who is terrified of what happens if the ghost janitor shows up. And eventually they follow the trail of candy wrappers all the way to the basement. And I love this moment between Jacob and Gregory, because Gregory can tell that Jacob is not down to go in the basement, because what if the zombie janitor is in there? But they end up going in there anyway, and Jacob just leaves him high and dry. I mean, just completely takes off and leaves him standing there when he sees what he thinks is the zombie janitor or the ghost janitor, which actually turns out to be Mr. Johnson.
Poor Gregory. He does not get paid enough for the amount of labor that he put into these episodes. No one is getting his costume or even attempting to understand the importance of Sully Sullenberger. And I think I messed up his last name, but I'm not going to correct it. And who, by the way, commented on the episode? Mr. Sully himself tweeted about it and agreeing with Janine's assessment that Harriet Tubman should have gotten a movie before him. So Sully is good peoples in my book. But besides the point, bringing it back to this episode, I have to ask, did Mr. Johnson just make up a story on the spot, or is this something he has been telling people for years? Because we don't get a direct answer, but you can tell he does not take this legend seriously. So I have so many questions for this man.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the episode, we do find out that he has like this ghost janitor picture set up, and he's like kind of making a menacing look at the camera. And you think, oh my God, could there be some truth to this? And then within seconds, he's like, nah, I bought this. Yes. I had it made at Dorney Park. So I don't think he takes this seriously at all. But to your point about Captain Sully Sullenberger, what a good sport, right? Like, to go on and, I mean, even if he doesn't watch Abby, which I'm sure he does, but could you imagine just being Sully Sullenberger, minding your own business, and now all of a sudden your phone is blowing up because you're the star of this episode of Abbott Elementary? This poor man.
Yes. I think Gregory did a lot to give him justice throughout the episode, though. Like, obviously, Janine's going to be poking fun at, like, the importance of what he did and his costume and everything. But Gregory was making some points about what a legend this man is.
Yeah. And to talk about Gregory a little bit, we know Gregory and Janine do their will they, won't they thing every now and then. And you and I have to call it out because that's why we're here. And through this episode, you do kind of get some of that. There's some flirting around the Sully costume. There's some questions of what are you going to do after this? He says, well, I'm recently single. So, you know, maybe I'm probably going to go out with my friends. She's saying, I don't have any friends. I don't have anything to do. But then we see Amber, the Halloween bad bitch, of course, try to pass Gregory some candy. She ends up passing it to Janine to give to Gregory. Of course, he turns it down because he's Gregory. And then Janine finds the digits. Amber has slid her digits to Gregory, you know, through Janine, basically. And now Janine has the awkward moment of telling Gregory about it. And I was like, okay, we got action here. We love the will they, won't they. We need more of this chemistry. What do you think about this scene? And how awkward would this be if you were in this position?
You forgot the best part, which is thank you for donating to my mouth, which I immediately realizes it's like, no. That is not, no, did not come out the right way. But I mean, this is always awkward. I feel like Amber should have just given Gregory the candy herself, like at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day or something. But it's safe to assume that Amber is not as invested in the will they, won't they of Janine and Gregory as ourselves and Mr. Johnson are. So I can't blame her for that. I feel like I would do the same thing as Janine, though. Like, I can't think of anything specific for this that has happened to me, but I feel like it probably has in some capacity. But I feel like the easiest thing to do is just, like, give the number to Gregory and then just let him do what he will with that information. Like, that's the adult thing to do. Janine did the correct thing in this situation. But then also, like, it's mad awkward to put Janine in that position. Like the the shenanigans of this episode was like so unnecessary, so unnecessary for her. But we know that this is like, this is a decision that they made to like include more plot about how like Janine is the person that got them together or like it exchanged the number to them. And this is going to make the will they won't they even more complicated. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this.
Yeah, I'm a hater, Gia. I would not have delivered the number. I'm a hater. I would have been like, but, oh, sorry. He did. He said he didn't want the candy. Oops, I accidentally threw it away. Like, I just don't know how
Janine, I guess that's
she's
true.
A better person than me. You know, she just, some people are better people than me. I'm just sorry. It's just the case.
Oh my God, am I a better person than you?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God. That's Chappelle, don't do that to yourself, okay? think a little more highly of yourself, please. But no, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird situation to be put in anyway. And I guess she could get away with just like throwing out the candy since like she didn't specifically say that there was a number in there. But I guess if there's like, I'm assuming that Janine is just so caught up in the breakup because we do see how like it's impacting so many different aspects of her life that I guess that as us, we know we're waiting for the will they won't they of Janine and Gregory to hit a breaking point. But I don't think she sees Gregory in like any sort of romantic light yet, outside of like, yeah, probably thinks he's cute, you know, enjoys talking with him, and there's like some level of attraction there. But I don't think she's thinking about it in the way that we are thinking about it, and that is to our detriment. But I guess this is what has to happen. I want Janine to date around a little bit more before she gets married. Like, you know, before you get married, you got to try a lot of cakes, as Melissa said in season one. And I think Janine needs to try a couple more cakes.
Yeah, she needs to try a cake. I mean, because Tariq cannot be the only cake that the woman has tried. I mean, she's got to do better.
That's such a low bar. And like before she gets to the 96% cacao, as Gregory said, you need to try a little something extra. It's like, what does strawberry cake taste like, or vanilla or like a Boston cream or something? I guess maybe not Boston. Melissa seems to really dislike Boston. We can only imagine how well that would go. But like, Janine, just try a couple more cakes, please. I'm like begging for this to be set. Let her date more people before Gregory.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think the number exchange really does kind of push Janine into a situation where she sees that life is moving on around her. You know, Gregory has been through a breakup and now he is potentially about to start dating around. He has somebody who's interested in him. She looks up and she sees her other quote unquote friends talking about what they're going to do outside of work. We see Melissa is like talking about how she needs to console the vending machine guy because on Halloween, every house is a vending machine. And my mind was blown when I heard that. I was like, dear God, that is so funny. Because who would have thought? But also, even Barbara, she's got her Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know, the abridged version or something like that, where it's like 22 minutes of movie. But she's even enjoying it. It's a sold out house. But Janine is just looking around and everybody has things going on for her. It doesn't sound like she does. And so I think this is just one of those like nail in the coffin type situation where it's like, yeah, she needs to put this whole like, I don't have any friends, I just sit at home missing Tariq thing. She needs to put it to rest and start to move on as well. So we see a lot of that in this episode. What did you think about Melissa and Barbara in this episode? Because we don't get a lot of them throughout this particular storyline. Maybe a little bit more in the next one.
Melissa did exactly what she needed to do with the Scarlet Witch. She was devastated at little Uzi Vert Vision's untimely death in... The end of this episode was like, there are some episodes where we know that they're going to be better served. And, you know, we just had one that was really heavily focused on Melissa with all of the drama around her and her sister. I'm assuming as we are going to get more into the public school versus charter school storyline of season two, we're going to get even more of Melissa. But we did not get a ton of Barbara, but what we got was very strong. Like her moment to shine was where she was talking about how she was going to be watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show without any references to sex or sexuality, and just come in under 22 minutes with this. I kind of want to see how this turns. I'm very intrigued. Does anyone else want to see Hocus Pocus without Sarah Jessica Parker?
I mean, that was such a low blow at Sarah Jessica Parker. Like, dang, what did SJP do to you, Barb?
Did you see the way her face just got very, like, stern and judgmental? Mm-hmm. Just she saw said without Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm like, damn, Barbara.
Mm-mm. SJP, you know what you did. Yeah, wherever you are, you're listening to this, you know what you did. You need to apologize, apparently.
Can you imagine if Sarah Jessica Parker, a Abbott Elementary watcher, because imagine just watching this unprovoked and just being attacked so viciously on Halloween. Yeah.
No, yeah, like she's getting the Sully Sullenberger treatment, you know, where she's just minding her own business. And now all of a sudden she's getting a bunch of mentions from Abbott Elementary talking trash about her. Yeah, but Hocus Pocus without her would be a very different movie. But apparently at the church, it might still sell out like this Rocky Horror did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's the gist of most of the episode. I mean, really, once we see Janine kind of identifying that Gregory potentially could be moving on and everybody else is moving on, she does go back to Erica and kind of says, you know, I think we could hang out because what else do I have going on? And Erica tells her to make sure, you know, make sure you have a sexier outfit than the James Harden cornrow and beard combination. And Janine begins to say that she has an Eric Andre wig right before Erica shuts her down. What is your problem, Janine?
First of all, I don't. How is Eric Andre sexier than James Harden? Like, listen, I don't know what scale she's measuring on, but I feel like that her reasoning does not compute with me. But I think this is the type of friend that Janine needs. Because if you had someone like Jacob in this same situation, he is just going to kind of mumble and stumble around and not really know how to react to this idea. But like, Janine needs another woman presence in her life that is going to care for her and want to see her, you know, be happy, like making friends. And she said, don't worry, like, I'll introduce you to everyone there. But then the minute she starts being a little too Janine, she shuts it down. She's just like, no, girl, I love you, but you like need to stop. Those are important friends to have in your life where that can reel you in when necessary. And it's out of love, but it's a necessary evil.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that covers pretty much everybody except for our queen, Ava. You know, like, listen, Ava, again, steps up in a way that they just don't give her credit. Because when these kids are all locking them out of the cafeteria and throwing dodgeballs at Jacob, Ava, dressed as Storm, also a baddie, dressed as Storm, completely just gets all these kids under control. They got a few licks in, it seems, because she looked a little rough afterwards. But Ava, again, did the damn thing. And even at the end, she comes through for Janine. Look, why do y'all not like Ava? Y'all don't give her what she deserves, I promise.
The storm's a brewing. She's been training for this. You know, Gregory said he was training for the principal job, but was he really? Was he prepared to go into battle in the dodgeball field for these children? No, Ava was. And let me tell you, she did the damn thing. And that wig stayed on. That was the most impressive part in there, because I could never, personally. I am not at Ava's level yet. I am training to eventually be at that level. We can only hope, but oh my God, very impressed with Ava. The costumes all around were really good. And I feel like they were very emblematic of each of the characters that we have on Abbott Elementary. Jacob was wage theft, which everyone got immediately. And it's just a very Jacob costume. And I love that we had a dark skinned Storm as the star of the show once again. And I need Ava Coleman to be brought into the Marvel Cinematic Universe at some point, or like have Abbott Elementary bring Marvel in or something. Like, we just need more of Ava in the moment, in a stardom role as she deserves. We forgot, though, we have to talk about the MVP of this episode, baby Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Chad, King Chad.
I laughed so hard when he started rolling down with his little bald cap, with his little tiny trash can. It was like, trash, trash. I was dying. And the hero of this episode, next to Ava, but the hero of this episode, the one that finds baby Thanos, the one that knows that just he's learned from his master. He's just got to follow the trash. He saved Halloween, but he might have a lawsuit, but he knows that like it's worth seeking justice in this moment. And oh my God, he was the MVP, like the MVP of this episode for me.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like you said, he might be facing some litigation soon because Mr. Johnson is not happy. This kid stole his whole stilo, his whole vibe. But little Chad did what needed to be done. He, got the candy back from baby Theranos, and everything is fine now. He's corrected everything on the way out. And then, of course, we have our, ending of the episode where we do see that Janine is now dressed like Marilyn Monroe. And she might not be Ava or Marilyn, but she's like third in line in the list of people dressed like Marilyn Monroe. Ava gives her a compliment, so you know she must be looking good.
Yeah, that is, it's honestly the nicest thing anyone has said to her in that school. Is that she's just behind Marilyn Monroe, who's just behind Ava.
Right. And it's very form-fitting, Gregory says, which is almost as creepy as donation to my mouth.
They're perfect for each other. What can you say? But also, and I, the Marilyn Monroe fan in me was so excited to see this because the movie where she wears that dress is actually my favorite movie, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, which is an incorrect fact, but, I'll let it slide. It's a very good film. But I was very excited to see this. And so, like, my little old school fandom in me was very excited to see the shout out to this diamond. She wears this dress when she's singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. So I just really liked that little shout out in there as well. And the fact that Ava was the one that got her the dress was also great. So I do like when we get the Ava Janine team up moments. I know that like Ava or Janine wants to learn from Barbara more than anyone, but I really think I think Ava is a really good mentor for her, though Ava herself would never admit it.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up most of the episode. I mean, the only thing I learned today talking to you is that I thought your favorite movie was Jumanji, but I guess we can get to that later on.
I thought it was Up. Is yours Up?
Yeah, I got something with a in it.
It's either Up sound. Or Us.
It's the one with Old Boy. That one.
That one.
So Gia, that wraps up our first episode, the Halloween episode, episode 6. And what we'll do is we'll just take a brief break and then we'll come back to talk about our second episode, episode 7, Attack Ad, right after this.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. And we're back. So, Gia, in this second episode, Attack Ad, we had another good cold opening with Gregory talking his students through a game of red light, green light, while Jacob is trying to give him the scoop on some gossip with some of the students and their parents. And this was relatable content to me. I've been working in education for a long time, but I be in these kids' business. I'm telling you, I could tell you where everybody mama go to church, who they date, where they who got arrested. I be in the mix. So I love this opening, especially when it turns out that Greg, it's typical Jacob. He really doesn't have any good tea. No, the scoop is bland, and it's just like, more of the same for Gregory and Jacob's friendship. Gia,
I've never related to Gregory more than in this because if there's one thing I will not do, it's mind my business when there is gossip to be had. Oh my God, it was great. There were a lot of twists and turns before we got to the inevitable, you know, very disappointing end to that story. But I love this. Part of me wants, if there's one thing about kids' messy drama, like the drama in kids' life, particularly their family, the person you're most guaranteed to hear it from is the kids themselves, especially when they are elementary age students, because they have no filter. So I am waiting for the moment where students start telling Gregory all of their business about like who their parents are dating or who's getting a divorce or who's cheating on who, because you know the kids will say something.
The kids always know. I mean, I'm telling you, it's one of the great joys of working in education for the K-12 realm. Like, it's why I don't leave. So throughout this episode, we see people kind of like dealing with different conflicts that we normally wouldn't see in Abbott Elementary. One of those being the charter school conflict that we've kind of talked about, kind of hovered around for a few episodes. But we also talk about Janine and Tariq again, because although it seems like Janine might have been ready to start moving forward with her life after the last episode, you cannot really move forward when somebody has 90% of their stuff still at your house, including all their anime stuff and the Charmeleon that is the only one who understands you. So, Gia, what did you think finding out that Tariq and Janine just haven't had the closure yet? Because it seems like it's been a while since the breakup.
I mean, this is to be expected. I try to give people a little more grace when it's been like a long-term relationship like this, especially 10 years. And this is the only person that Janine has been with and the one of three people that Tariq has been with, as we hear allegedly. About at the end of the allegedly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I honestly, Tariq's return did not disappoint for me. Like, it is everything that I wanted from a Tariq return and more. Like, it was just, he's such a mess. He is obviously not right for Janine, but I can't hate him, which is so frustrating because I want to hate him, but he is just too funny. He's so good with the kids at Abbott Elementary. So he's just very fun. And he's going to be the DJ at Nick Cannon's next baby shower, which is, you know, he's expecting his 11th now. So congratulations to Tariq on this new business opportunity. Awesome for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was great. I'm glad that they're addressing it a little more because I feel like season one was just kind of leading to Janine reaching her breaking point in eventually breaking up with Tariq. And now we are actually getting to see more of the fallout. Like, obviously, it was very hard for her to move on from it over the summer. But now we are kind of getting into the moments where she's realizing that this was the best decision for her, which can be very hard in the first few months after a breakup where you have to, like, learn to be alone, be single. And we are getting to see like how she's able to move on and some of the ways that she's not able to move on because all of his stuff is in her house still, the anime and the manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zach Fox is incredible in this role. And I really hate that his role has to be Janine's ex because we need more of Zach Fox in this role. Like, Tariq is such a good character. It's a shame that he's like recurring or even going to be eventually not on the show. I have to imagine he's not going to be around forever unless he becomes a teacher, which would be wild, but also I would like to see it.
I mean, like, we do, as far as we know, Abbott doesn't have like a gym teacher, do we? Or like,
right. We need something.
Like, I could see, I think that there is enough love for Tariq as a character that we could see him returning in various ways.
Yeah, I hope so, because he's so good here. And like you said, it's really hard to hate him because we see that Janine is first. She's kind of worried about, you know, like, oh, well, Tariq's coming. I need to make sure he gets his stuff because it's time to move on. But when she talks to Erica, you know, who we met in last episode, Erica's like, hey, make sure you keep this platonic. You don't need to make this anything that it doesn't have to be. This is your ex. You need to move on. And although it does look like Janine is receptive, it's also clear that she's kind of stealing glances at Gregory talking to our Halloween baddie, Amber. And I kind of suspect that that could be pushing her toward maybe wanting some romantic companionship, maybe not from Tariq, but just in general. And so throughout the episode, we do kind of see her warming up to Tariq as he comes back into her life. One of the first signs too, Gia, was that, like you said, he's really good with the kids. Were you surprised at how like the kids responded to him?
No, because I feel like they had so many interactions with him that were really positive. They seemed to really like him when they did the fade program in season one. And then he was really warm to them in the field trip, and like the students really liked bonding with him and doing the little calls and everything. So I'm not surprised that Tariq is good with kids, like whether he is a responsible person to watch over kids in the same capacity as a teacher is a completely different story. But he seems like just a really warm, like funny person. You can see why him and Janine were together for so long, because even in the interactions they have here where they're just like getting along, they have like very fun chemistry, even if I think that chemistry is better as a friendship. But I do want to give a shout out to Abbott Elementary that they didn't go down this route of like the evil ex that we get, especially because like I feel that like the Black man ex or the evil Black woman ex that we get in a lot of like the primarily Black shows, it's just like it can get very tiring, especially if it's like a sitcom like this where we really just want to have a feel good happy sitcom with a couple life lessons along the way. And it was just really refreshing, not just because it's a predominantly Black cast, but also just as like in terms of the not being with the right person, it's nice to see some representation of like two people that are, you know, kind, like overall good, well-intentioned people that just aren't right for each other in the long term. So I really appreciate that Abbott is continuing down this track of like, yeah, Tariq doesn't really have any big secrets that he was keeping from Janine as far as we know right now. Like he wasn't cheating on her. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing anything like too like sketchy or wrong, but it's just like they're just not right for each other.
Right. Yeah. And I think Janine just needs to remember that, you know, throughout this episode, because the chemistry is palpable. It really is. Like you can tell that they both love kids and love like, you know, teaching in their own ways. And so she kind of sees that kinship with him. You know, they've been together for 10 years. And so it's really hard for her to. Yeah, that's a long time, especially to be with Tariq. No disrespect to him, but dear God.
For 10 years, like, even as, like, being with someone that you've been with since middle school, or, like, is insane in and of itself. Like, sorry to everyone that you know, that has done that, but I just personally can't relate. And then, like, doing it for 10 years, being with anyone for 10 years right now sounds exhausting to me. Like, am I wrong? Am I crazy for saying that? Like, damn, that's a long time.
That's a long time. And especially a long time to then break up with somebody. And so
this
is one of those things where it's like, we know she needed to get out, but man, it had to be tough to make that happen. And, you know, she talks about that in this episode and a little bit in the last episode too, that moving on is just so scary for her because this is what she's known for so long. This has been her reality. And so to now be looking at Tariq as somebody who potentially could not be good for her is difficult, you know? And so we see them kind of have random conversations throughout where she can see that he's doing Nick Cannon's baby shower, that he's basically living the dream and getting better in his career. And those were the things that she was with him during like the struggle parts, you know? And so who would want to turn their back on somebody now that they finally made it? You know, like you want to see the fruits of your labor too. And so I wasn't shocked when he ends up inviting her to continue the conversation at a place called Bahama Breeze. Now, this is where I start to look at Janine a little bit, though. I kind of raise my eyebrow because I'm thinking, okay, Janine, don't get wrapped back up into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing about closure is that it has to happen. You have to have the closure. But like, you have to close, right? Like, you cannot like halfway do it, because you'll end up in the old cycles and patterns that you used to. And it looks like that's where she was heading for a minute. I mean, she was so excited to go to Bahama Breeze. We said Tariq is kind of excited about it. He even goes to Gregory to find out what her favorite movie was. And again, if you need any other sign that these two people should not be together, it's been 10 years, Gia. Tariq does not know Janine's favorite movie.
I know. It's insane. That is just insane to me that, you know, and I don't think that Tariq means it maliciously. I just think he just doesn't, you know, those brain pills, and he just does not retain a lot of information in the same way that other people in committed relationships might. But it's just, again, like, well-meaning but poorly executed, in that he does not remember his girlfriend of 10 years favorite movie. Like, that is, at least write that down. Come on now. I'm sure it's Janine. You know she's mentioned it several times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really seem like a couple that was out about doing a lot of stuff. So you'd have to imagine that they've probably seen this movie a bunch of times too. But yeah, this is Tariq, you know, and this kind of puts the ball in Gregory's court now, because Gregory is put in a position where he kind of sees that Tariq is back, that he might be, you know, getting warmed up to Janine again, and he's still not great, you know, and Janine does not seem like she's able to see it. She's too close to it to be able to really identify that Tariq is still up to his old tricks, that he's still a little bit inconsiderate, maybe very immature, and that he's just not right for Janine. And so Gregory ends up having to go to her and kind of try to tell her as a friend that this might not be great. Now, what did you think about the interaction? Because Janine shuts him down immediately.
Now, all right, Chappelle, I know I am hard on Janine sometimes, right? It's out of love. I'm like mm-hmm. the Erica of the podcasting world, I will say. But mm-hmm. Janine has some nerve telling anyone in this show to tell them to mind their business. Janine, when have you ever minded an iota of business in mm-hmm. your life, particularly as what we have seen from you in this show? She cannot let anything go. So then why is she upset? And I think part of it is the fact that she can see that Gregory seems to be like forming a relationship or like some type of strong bond with Amber. So he's like, she's seeing all of the other single people in her life coupling up, which I'm assuming this is during cuffing season. It seems like a fall season, so that might have something to do with it. But
that'll do it. Yeah,
I know that the fall does things to people. It happens. It's the emotions are real then, I imagine. not me, but other people,
right?
Yes. But you know, I think it can be hard when you're like, when you stay single, and you know, I think that especially for women, it can be hard with people kind of judging you as being like in the single element, like, what's wrong with you? Why are you not with someone? And so, and I think that especially if you have been in a relationship for that long, that now you are out of your comfort zone. Like what Melissa said in the last episode, like, she's been divorced. She knows what it means to start over completely and how difficult that can be. But it's just very hard. And I can understand why she feels like her intentions are being questioned, but you know, she was entertaining the fact of like, what if this date goes well? And everyone that is not as invested in this relationship or in this like friendship, I will say, as Janine, or like has this ties to Tariq, is like, Janine, girl, what are you doing? I myself was a little worried. I'm like, please tell me they are not going to get them back together.
Ooh, yeah.
I know. It's just like, oh my God, please, I can't deal with that. Like, we just got out. We just got out of the trenches at this point. I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, Janine, stand up. Stand up.
Stand up.
It looks for a second like she's going to slide back into some old habits until she gets the voice note from Tariq. And it says like, yo, Neen, turns out my ride isn't coming. So just like old times, I'm going to need you to gas up the Caroli, because we're setting sail for the breezy choo-choo. And also, oh, you have a sandwich, you know. And so he bit her sandwich and then also does not have a ride to take her. kind of a scrub in a bunch of ways, kind of inconsiderate. And she's like, you know what? My bad. I was tripping, because at this point she knows that there's probably nothing here anymore. Tariq is still Tariq, and it's just time for her to move on. She finally goes to him and just, you know, tells him, I don't know if we should be doing this I don't think it's for the best, you know, if we make our relationship anything more than like a platonic non-meal sharing relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can tell his feelings are hurt about it, but he responds that it's fine because he's just going to let his girlfriend take him out. And she's the fourth person now that he's been with. And Janine should be aware of that. And I call shenanigans, Gia. I think Tariq is lying. I think he's just trying to save face because he was shooting his shot. He got shot down. And now he's trying to make it seem like, oh, he's better off without Janine. But I don't think there's a girlfriend. I just don't.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, honestly. I kind of buy that he has a girlfriend, even if it's like not a serious girlfriend.
I think this is shenanigans. And here's why. So, you know, at the end of the episode, and we'll get to the legendary schools of it all in just a moment. But at the end of the episode, in the post-credit scene, he's talking about all the things that he's doing, right? And yeah. The stuff just sounds like it's full of shenanigans, right? So he just put out an album called Method to My Madness on Reek Records, who I have to assume is his own record label. It just went double mahogany. Like wood. So I'd have to assume that that's not something that he should be bragging about, but he is. It's on the top of the charts, which is a Spotify playlist he made. What else? He also has been going to New York Liberty games because now he's into tall ladies, because we know that Janine is one of the shortest women who've ever walked through that school, probably. She's shorter than most of the schools. I mean, than the students. So I'm like, so now you're into tall women. You're so mm-hmm. successful. You got this playlist. Like, Tariq, let's just say it. Just say you don't got a lot going on right now. Your feelings are kind of hurt. And he even recently did a jingle for what we haven't talked about yet, but we're about to get into, Legendary Schools, which, I mean, if Tariq is even paying a little bit of attention, he will know that Legendary Schools is going to be completely at odds with Abbott very quickly. So I'm thinking that Tariq is in on all of this, and he's a part of the shenanigans as well. What you say?
I will say that while not a ton of things surprised me in this episode, though there were like a lot of plot twists, the part that I was genuinely shocked by was at the very end, where he's talking about how he just did this deal with and that he's the one that made the Legendary Schools jingle. I gasped, like audibly gasped during mm-hmm. that moment. I could not believe it. Tariq, you traitor. Listen, it was a lot. I had to sit down afterwards. I had to process all of this yeah. afterwards. But it was, they got me. Abbott got me in that moment.
This is shenanigans. I'm telling you, there's no way that he didn't know that this was going to be like using a commercial to bash Abbott Elementary. Stop it. These are all Janine adjacent. He's just trying to be in her life.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're... I think you might be giving Tariq a little more credit. Than, I mean, like, look, I don't know.
Maybe the jingle thing, Gia. Maybe the jingle thing. But hear me out. There's no girlfriend. It's just not. Okay. I mean, just like he's on the top of the Spotify charts, ma'am, the chart he made, you know, like, stop it.
I'll give you that. I would not. Now I'm thinking about like I got to watch the episode again. I need to understand, like, I need to cross reference the validity of these girlfriend claims, but this will be interesting. I am excited to see more of the fallout of the charter school public school feud, because I am fully invested in that storyline.
Yes, and we haven't talked about it much, but we do have to get into it. So we'll take one more break right now. And then after that, we'll wrap up this second episode by talking about the big new drama, which is Legendary Schools and how that's going to affect our people here at Abbott Elementary. We'll be right back after this.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, and we're back. So we've talked about Halloween. We've talked about the return of Tariq. But now we have to talk about somebody who we've speculated about throughout this podcast so far, and that's Leslie Odom. We have wondered where he was going to be in this, and now we know. Gia, were you shocked to see that Leslie Odom is going to be, moving forward, one of our main antagonists, it seems, in the Abbott Elementary universe?
Yes, new villain has dropped. I am so excited. Oh my God. Now, when they announced that Leslie Odom Jr. was going to be part of Abbott Elementary season two, all they mentioned in it was that he was going to be like the, I don't know if it's the principal or the superintendent of the local charter school. I had a feeling of where it was going because charter, as they have explained in the show, charter schools and public schools are competing for the same money. And because charter schools are specified education and often only allows like a certain number of students, so it's like smaller classrooms, they usually get a lot more resources with that they can spread around students with like the same type of funds as like a public school. So they can do a lot more with the money that they have. So that is a point of contention in real life about like the charter schools versus public schools debate. So I had a feeling at where this was going, but now we have gotten into the lore of, was it Draymond? Is that his name here?
Yes. Draymond, yes. Winding, I believe.
Yeah. Draymond Winding. So we have learned about his origin story. And as we learn later that he was in the first class of the one and only Barbara Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. This is good information. We needed this because, again, we have a megastar now on our hands, like to join the cast of already big names, right? But now we have Leslie Odom. We know that he's coming in as a villain role, but this is almost too villainous for me. I mean, to start the episode, we have basically parents coming in and throwing shade at our staff and being like, oh, don't yell at the kids anymore. I hope you aren't going to take them to the casino. And the whole time I was like, what are they talking about? It turns out that this man has basically released a smear campaign against Abbott Elementary, showing these very, very teachers in a negative light and letting people know that Abbott is not a good school and that people should start to go to charter school instead.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you have to, like, the judgmental dad throughout the episode had me cracking up. He is just so done with Janine in every way. Like, even when after she has seen the attack ed and she's trying to emphasize that, like, this is a good school and your kids are learning, and he just leaves with his daughter. It's like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're yelling at him again? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Figures.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't laugh, but I did a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this was funny. And then even just like the shade at Melissa being like, oh, you're gonna take them gambling again? I was like, what is happening?
That would also trigger my fight or flight response. So kudos to Melissa for not going low, which she should have. Mm-hmm. And I would have looked the other way, but good for her.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't have done much for Abbott's PR, but it definitely would have made us feel better. And so I would have condoned that as well. So they go and they watch this commercial. Ava's now seen it. She pulls it up for everybody to look at. And they're kind of appalled at basically real life footage of the Abbott Elementary teachers doing what they do in class. But with like this dark undertone, you know, they're putting it in like black and white. There's like menacing music. They're altering their voices a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. The stuff that they're doing isn't what you would expect from a normal teacher, but we know that these Abbott teachers have like different tactics that work. We know Melissa talking about her dealings, if you will, when it comes to money and stuff like that, is really helping the kids with math. We know Gregory's no nonsense when it comes to, you know, whimsy, and he's dealing with kids who won't sit down. And we also know that Janine struggles with raising her voice as students. And so for them to flip that as if these people were doing something bad, I was very offended. But I was even more shocked to see that they use Barbara's clip to kind of be on the other side, like, oh, come to this charter school where we have Barbara working for us, because she does not work for y'all. How did y'all pull this off?
I knew there was something going on with Barbara. At first, my initial assumption was like, Barbara is perfect, so naturally they don't have anything. Mm-hmm. They don't have any dirt on Barbara because she is a perfect Emmy-winning individual. But then we actually learn more about like why Barbara was portrayed in such a positive light. But I cracked up so loud when they had this whole smear campaign that just ended with Barbara high-fiving her students. And also, they did feature the teacher that got kicked out for hitting a child. So, you know, don't throw stones from glass houses, I would say. But that is neither here or there. The whole smear campaign, that feels like very dirty to me. I don't know. It's just, this could definitely be taken a lot out of context. And I feel like what we saw really wasn't too terrible, except like Jacob's, what's up, dog? Like, sir, please.
With
like,
the barking?
Ew. Yes, please stop, sir. Like, that was so cringy. But like, telling a student to sit down or stop dancing, like, shout out to the return of Hilliam. Also, I'm glad to know that he has graduated on to Gregory's class. I hope we get even more of him in the future. But it's really just like things that, taken out of context, they kind of are portraying in a negative light. But like, asking a kid to sit down is not out of line, or to stop dancing, and especially since it's like they're not yelling at students, they're talking to them directly. But you know, people love to be mad about things and take things out of proportion. So the problem of the week is Abbott Elementary teachers.
Yeah, and this is bad because we love them, but we also know that if people start to see Abbott Elementary for, you know, as a school, I guess, that is lackluster, and we already know it's underfunded in a lot of ways, that people might not go here, and that could be bad for our favorites. Mm-hmm. I was very interested in Barbara's role throughout this episode because she didn't have a lot of content in general for it to be almost about her in a way. Like, even her reaction to the commercial initially, before they even saw it, she was just kind of like, oh, okay, it's a commercial, well, we should watch it. But she didn't have that fighting spirit that I'm so used to from her. Like, so I was already kind of weary of her throughout. Then to find out that, oh no, they've done the research and this Draymond person was once in her class and that's why he made her look good. And then I was like, oh no, Barbara, like, I need you to come back. I need you to be a part of the team and make sure you reel this guy in, because who knows what'll happen to everybody else. Like, sure, you look great, but we're here for the entire school. And then to see Jacob and Melissa actually and Ava going out of their way to try and bring this guy in to have a conversation with him and try to figure out how to shut this thing down. It was really great. But again, I just was looking at Barbara like, okay, when are you going to step up and help out? And so, yeah, that's how we meet Draymond, AKA Leslie and Leslie Odom Jr. When he walks in, I'm thinking, okay, we have our villain. This is fine. He's so charismatic. As Jacob says, he even sounds handsome on the phone. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's always good to have a villain that you love to hate. You know, the one that you really can't hate them because they're just so nice. You know, they open the door for you and all kinds of stuff like that. But they're just, you just know that you just can't vibe with that person. That's the energy he was giving, you know, to the point where even Barbara has to pull him into her office and just finally line him up and just like, you can't do this. This is not okay. I understand you had a troubled past, but you cannot take that out on all elementary schools. And Gia, this was what I had been waiting for on Barbara all episode.
I know. And I was also a little disappointed in the lack of Barbara when this is an episode really centered around the impact that she had as a teacher in a public school, Leslie, by the way. So your favorite teacher's out of public school, but now you want to turn everything into charter schools? I have questions, but I'm sure we are going to get more of that moving forward. But I think that connection between Barbara and Dre is going to be really important, because I am sure we are going to get some very messy under the hand moments, or under the table moments between like the two sides, because you know Ava will play dirty, you know Melissa will play dirty, you know Jacob, when he feels like, maybe with the other white teachers there, will play dirty, but I think Barbara is someone that wants to take the high road. But I think that really, like, if there's anyone that's going to actually impact Dre or his mission, it's going to be her. So she really is going to be at the center of all of this drama, even though I am personally very excited for the mess that I'm sure everyone else will cause.
Yeah, it's going to be dirty eventually, but you know Barbara's going to try to rise above it because that's just what she does. But sadly, I just don't think that's going to work, because while she's able to talk him down and convince him not to run this commercial anymore, he still tells the cameras that eventually he plans on turning all the schools in Philly into charter schools, starting with Abbott Elementary as his number one target. And so, Barbara, she's going to have to get down and dirty eventually to fight this fight. We've seen her do it in the past. We saw it with the with the church lady in the first season, and so hopefully she can bring some of that energy to this fight as well, because this is going to be a battle. But Gia, aside from that, I think the only other takeaway I have from this episode is that Gregory did know Janine's favorite movie was Jumanji, and you know, it didn't have a and it does it Jumanji Juman
Jumanji I think that's how you Jumanji. Say it. I haven't it's not my favorite Robin Williams film, but I digress. But it's Janine's favorite movie, and Gregory knows about it unprompted. She said she was going to watch a movie, and he was like, Jumanji? Like, he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew. And again, another very cute moment that shows that they are well suited for each other. And I think, again, like, for everyone listening, knowing the little things about the individuals that you're interested in is very important.
Yeah. I agree.
The little details.
It's the tiny things, the things that Tariq cannot remember because of his pills that he takes, I guess. but Gregory does pay attention to Janine, and I love that for them. And of course, more will they, won't they, to come.
Yeah.
And also more speculation about what's going to happen with this charter school. Gia, do you have any like idea for where you can see this going between Draymond and the rest of the cast?
I want them to do like joint events together at some point. Like if there's like a field day that comes up or something where we can get like, you know, sometimes how if there are schools that are like very closely located, they might do like one school versus the other. It usually happens more with high schools, but for the sake of me, of my entertainment and wanting to see everyone clashing together, I would love to see the student, you know, I would love to see the like a literal public school versus charter school setting in like the form of like a game day or field day or something like the teachers versus the charter school teachers. I don't know. Yes. I would love to see. Also, am I crazy or was Dre kind of like eyeing Ava after she said that it was a pleasure? Mm-hmm. It of course it was a pleasure to meet her.
Oh man, can you imagine if we get like the Romeo and Juliet story of like Ava and Dre on two different sides of this school battle, and Ava, because you know Ava, I love Ava to death, but she's definitely gonna pick him over Abbott Elementary.
I know.
I'm sorry, I love her to death, but man, the way she's gonna flip on them kids is so
funny. This did remind me of the when Jacob was saying he sounds attractive, and she was like, ooh, a twist. What a twist would it be if they start? And also, I do think that both of them are a little unhinged in their thought process. So I think that these are like, you know, whether they are actually meant to be in a healthy relationship together, that's a completely different story. But whether they can provide the mess that I am so craving in all of my sitcom shows, absolutely. And they would supersede my love of Janine and Gregory infinitely. Because if there's one thing I love, it's toxic behavior where no one learns their lesson.
Amen to that.
Yes.
And with that, that's the end of the episode. Gia, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Like besides like the like shout outs or like promotions or whatever.
Anything else about the episode?
Baby Thanos and Mr. Johnson for Emmy nominations this season. Best supporting characters in or like best guest characters in like a comedy series or something. I'm sure that's an award, but they both deserve it. Give it to both of them.
Right. Sounds good to me. Gia, that's it. I think our next episode won't be airing until November 16th. So we actually have a small break between what we'll come back and talk about Abbott Elementary again. And so in the meantime, if you could just tell the people where they can find you, where they can follow you, and where they can keep up to what you would, you know, what you're doing these days. That way they don't lose touch with us for too long as we wait for our next episode.
Well, now that I am back from vacation, I am back fully into the podcasting mode where I am doing the Survivor recaps on my podcast over at Silent Podcast. I don't know about that. Survivor 43 has had a lot of ups and downs, but we are here to make the most of all of them. And I'm very excited to continue with my round of guests for Survivor 43. In the same silent podcasting realm, I am podcasting about Claim to Fame season one with my sister, Ari Fielding. I have seen every episode and she has not. So we are going through each of the episodes in a spoiler-free podcast and seeing what her thoughts are as we're going forward. It has been so fun. My sister's a natural. Like, are any of us surprised? And we are having a great time. So I'm very excited to finish the season. We're about halfway now. And I am still writing about Inside Survivor with Survivor 43. Christine and I have a lot to say about the Dwight boots, so stay tuned for the mess that we will be spewing onto all of you as we get this new recap out. And then finally, you can follow me on Twitter at ClassicallyGia for all of my reality TV shenanigans. Total Drama is coming back, and I will not shut up about it, in case you are wondering. And for all of the Survivor fans or new Survivor fans, make sure that you follow the Survivor Diversity Campaign at Serve Diversity. Chappelle and I are both followers of it, and that is where you get all the good content.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gia. And yeah, of course, go follow Survivor Diversity Campaign, because it's where we be at. You know what I'm saying? So check that out. Check out Gia wherever she is going to be podcasting, because she's always a good listen. And then you can also follow me and check me out on those similar places. You know, I'm still on Silent Podcast talking about Never Have I Ever with Sasha Joseph. We're about to wrap up season 3 of the show, and then we're going to take a big old break, and before season 4, the final season of Never Have I Ever drops. So you can subscribe to our feed, Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast, or just subscribe to Silent Podcast to check out all the stuff we have going on over there. Here on Post Show Recaps, I'm still talking about Atlanta with Mari Forth and Latanya Starks. We're about to wrap up this final season of Atlanta, so check that out and follow Post Show Recaps to keep up with that. Still talking about The Walking Dead as well on Post Show Recaps. Myself, Josh Wiggler, AJ Mass, and Jessica Lease are always here to talk about all things zombies as far as The Walking Dead is concerned, and until the end of time, because the show is never going to end, and we will be here talking about it until that time comes. And then, of course, you can check me out on Rob Has a Podcast, talking about Netflix shows. We have the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Myself, Rob Cesarino, are talking about Netflix shows as they drop. This week, we'll be talking about Blockbuster, a show about the last remaining Blockbuster on Earth, thanks to Netflix. And so you can check that out. Sasha Joseph will be our guest this week. And if you want to keep up with anything else that I'm doing, including my guest appearance on the Shit 90s Shows Taught Me podcast to talk about Boy Meets World, please follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show, where I'll be tweeting out all the links to those things and keeping you posted on what I have going on. But until next time, when we talk about Abbott Elementary season 2, episode 8, Egg Drop, it is me, Chappelle, it's Gia, it's the both of us, and we will talk to you all later. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.